Here we commence now in the month of Ramadan of the year 1412 after the Hijrah in this masjid on this Sunday after having performed Salatul Zuhr with Jama'ah. We commence the story in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Primrose Park with the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, the father, Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, the son, and the instigations of shaitan. In the year 40 before Nabi Isa alayhi salam, before the birth of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that is to say, we normally call this the year 40 BC. Herod Antipas was instituted as king of the Jews over Judea by the Roman Emperor, who had conquered this entire territory and brought it into the fold of the Roman Empire. The people who lived in this area of Judea at that time, or which is now Palestine, where the Bani Israel people or the Israelite people, Rome conquered this entire territory because of the rebellion of the Jews, and the person who was appointed as the governor or the king of this area was a person, the king was Herod, and Herod Antipas was appointed as a governor or the tetrarch of this entire area. Herod was a hated man, particularly by the Israelite Jews, for he forced oppression and injustice on those who rejected his authority and his power. Herod was responsible for many cities, fortresses and palaces being built in Judea, but he was also instrumental in the construction of numerous pagan, huge pagan temples and large statues wherein idolatry and obscenity was encouraged. It is strange, I find it very strange, the link between idolatry and obscenity. Obscenity in its worst, in its most foul sense. I'm not going to describe it to you. Alright? That link and that chain, I find it very, very amazing. But there is a link between idolatry and nakedity and obscenity and all the rest of it. Shaitan had encouraged this process. Shaitan aroused the evil passions and sinful emotions of people, and he made them indulge in all kinds of shameless abominations. People worshipped multiple gods. People worshipped images and carvings and statues. People prostrated in that day and age. This is the pre-Christian era, the 40 years before Nabi Isa alayhi salam was born, when Herod was the big man of the day. People worshipped multiple gods, images, carvings, prostrated to the living and the dead, and made human and animal sacrifices for their numerous deities, all the gods. They used to sacrifice animals, take young girls and virgin girls and slaughter them and kill them and sacrifice them in the name of their various gods and animals also. All this type of obscene things and evil things they used to indulge in to please their gods, to gain the pleasure of their various idols. It is in a world such as this that appeared the noble prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. He came to the Israelite people who had forgotten the teachings of the Torah and those of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they had fallen into shirk and into kufr. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam called his people to the worship of the one true God. He invited them to Tawheed, to the worship of one Allah, and to the outright denunciation of idolatry and polytheism. He came from a very large and a very influential family. And the family of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, accepting him, were mushrikeen. Subhanallah. It is strange, isn't it? All his family's cousins and his relatives and his members of his family and so on, all of them are mushrikeen. And in amongst them is born this noble figure, this prophet of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. And he immediately starts, when he is, his prophethood is announced, when he is made a prophet, declared a prophet, then at that time he starts his preaching, calls and invites the people to Tawheed and to Risalat, and he warns them about the consequences of their actions in Akhirah. All the relatives and the cousins and the friends of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam stood up against him when he started preaching Tawheed, and they opposed him for threatening and denouncing their gods. The people followed suit and there was an uproar against the pure preaching of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. He was by profession our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith in Sahih Bukhari informs us that my brother Zakariya was a carpenter. So we learn from the Sahih Bukhari, from these words of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was by profession a carpenter, and that this was his source of income. He was the maternal uncle of Maryam alayhi salam, and he was also the guardian of the Baytul Muqaddas. When Maryam alayhi salam was expecting Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam through a miracle of Allah, her mother gave her to the safekeeping of the priests of the temple, dedicating her to God, and they in turn placed her in charge of Zakariya alayhi salam, who tended to her needs, for he was the guardian of this Baytul Muqaddas. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam was greatly astonished to find that she always had food and provisions in the lonely part of the sanctuary where Maryam lived and constantly prayed. He found that Maryam alayhi salam, that she would have winter fruits in summer. She would have winter fruits in summer and summer fruits in winter. And this amazed Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. In amazement, he asked her, Now I'm going to weave the story. Quran, in other stories, what I have done is I've told you the story and then we have gone to Quran. With the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, what I'm going to do is, as we move along, I will quote Quran as we go along, instead of holding it towards the end. So I change the style all the time. In amazement, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam asked her, Qala, says the Quran, Qala ya Maryamu, anna laki hadha. He said, O Maryam, from where do you obtain this provision? These fruits that I see, out of season fruits, where do you obtain this, O Maryam? No man comes into this sanctuary. Nobody enters here. I am your guardian. I look after you. I care for you. No human being comes in here. Who brings you this fruit? Winter fruit in summer, summer fruit in winter. Who brings this to you, O Maryam? Tell me who brings to you. What is your secret, O Maryam? Tell me. I care for you. I am your uncle. Alright? He was Maryam alayhi salam's, he was married to Maryam alayhi salam's mother's sister, maternal uncle. He said, O Maryam, from where do you obtain this provision? With due humility and grace, most becoming her, most becoming the mother of a miraculous prophet of Allah, she answered and she said, Qalat huwa min indillah, inna allaha yarzuku man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Surah Al-Imran, third surah of the Quran, ayat number 37, said Maryam alayhi salam to him, this is from Allah, O Zakariya, this is from Allah. You ask me where I obtain this permission. I do not know. All I do is I ask Allah for provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me expectant of a child. This is from Allah. I do not know. I cannot answer where it comes from. All I can tell you, it comes from Allah. Qalat huwa min indillah. It comes from Allah. Verily, Allah provides to whom He pleases without measure. Allah provides what He will to whom He pleases without any kind of measure. Whatever Allah wills, He can do, He can achieve. The reply was a profound and an accurate one. It made a lasting impression on Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Zakariya had been preaching to his people for a long time, but they were a stubborn and an obdurate people. Bani Israel, need I tell you more? A stubborn people, an obdurate people, a rebellious people. They rejected him. They mocked him. They opposed him. The people refused to accept Tawheed, that Tawheed which was taught to them by Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and a whole string of prophets that came to the Bani Israel. They were steeped in idolatry and pagan practices and customs and rituals. They often threatened Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, and they used to warn him always to stop preaching to them. Seeing this miracle of provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Maryam alayhi salam, a subconscious hope and desire overwhelmed Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He tried to suppress this hope that arose within him. He tried to suppress it, but it refused to go away. It was not possible, he thought to himself, this dream that I have, this hope that I wish to express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dua that I wish to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Zakaria, it came up in his mind, from his heart, and he wants to ask Allah ta'ala, and then he tries to suppress it, thinking that it is unfair. But then he thinks again, but where and how did untimely, unseasonal fruits arrive to Maryam? And Maryam tells him that it is from Allah. So that Allah, cannot I ask him even for the impossible? Thinks as Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. However, his hope got the better of him. The fact that unseasonal fruits came to Maryam alayhi salam proved that everything was possible to Allah, even the impossible. With deep emotion and sincerity, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam expressed his deep felt hope and desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as follows, as reported in the Quran. Hunalika da'a Zakariya rabbahu qala rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyibatan innaka sami'ud du'a. Third surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, ayat number 38 says, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, expressing the suppressed desire sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, there and then, the Quran tells us, there and then did Zakaria call on his Rabb, on his sustainer, saying, my sustainer, grant me from your presence a goodly child, a goodly son, a goodly offspring, a pious and obedient son, for you are the hearer of prayer. Maryam prayed to you for food, and you are granting her, O Allah. Now, you are a good hearer, O Allah. Therefore, hear me also. I also have an overwhelming hope and desire, O Allah. And my hope is, O Allah, grant me a son, a pure son, a pious son, a goodly son, an obedient son. O Allah, if you can do that to Maryam and grant that to Maryam, then surely you can grant me a son, O Allah. Now, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam was already 120 years old. And his wife was 98 years old. She was barren. In other words, she could not conceive child. Such a thing was inconceivable, unthinkable. He knew this. But he also knew that such limitations and restrictions could not be set upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those were limitations to man, but there was no such limitation that could be placed upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The work of propagating the true message of God had to go on. His people cherished shirk. Who would go on preaching the truth, thought Zakaria alayhi salam after him. If Allah ta'ala bestowed upon him a good, pious and obedient son devoted to the truth and the haq, then the work of da'wat and tabligh would go on. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not deny such continuity of truth, of tawheed, of risalat, of haq and akhirah. Surely Allah could do the impossible, thought Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam. And so he prayed and he prayed and he waited anxiously. Nabi Zakaria is standing there in the apartment, in that chamber where Maryam alayhi salam has received. He's looking at these fruits and his mind is whirling and he thinks, Ya Allah, surely. There and then in one corner he stands and he prays and makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you can do this for Maryam, surely you can do this for me. Grant me then a son so that my son can go on preaching. If something happens to me, I'm an old man, oh Allah. If I die tomorrow, or if I'm killed tomorrow, or whatever happens to me, then I know I have a son whom I can train and I can teach and he can go on with the work. Oh Allah, the truth can go on. Tawheed can go on. After me, nobody in my family even wants to undertake my work. None of my nephews, none of my cousins, none of my relations want to carry on and continue with the work of dawah. Oh Allah, grant me a son so I can train him and I can teach him. And if you make him obedient and pious, oh Allah, he will surely listen to me and he will go on with the work of dawah and tabligh of the truth and the haq. This was what he is now praying and standing and praying and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he prayed and he waited anxiously and patiently. Would Allah ta'ala accept his prayer? Now he thinks, will Allah ta'ala accept my prayer? He wondered, was he right in making such an impossible request, an impossible dua? Would it raise the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps? Even a prophet has no knowledge of how Allah Ta'ala responds. Oh Allah, my plea, says Zakariya, oh Allah, my plea is for a spiritual cause. Now he explains to Allah Ta'ala, and brothers, learn the way of dua. Not only the du'as that we know, learn to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A thought comes in his mind, what will happen if Allah is angry? Ya Allah, I am not asking for the son for any material reason. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam now wants to clear his reason with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, oh Allah, my plea for a son is for a spiritual cause, not a material one. What will happen to Tawheed if I die, oh Allah? Who will carry forth your message to the people? My people are so rebellious and sinful, oh Allah, they will distort the truth after me. Bestow upon me a pious and an obedient son who will continue preaching the truth of Tawheed, of Risalat and Akhirat, and will continue to invite people to your obedience and to your submission, oh Allah. You are the all-hearing and you are the all-merciful, oh Allah. And look what happens now. As Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam stood praying and begging and beseeching Allah Ta'ala for a pious son, a miracle commenced to take place, for the prayer of a prophet of Allah Ta'ala never goes unanswered. The Quran Majid says, we go back to Quran, says the Quran, and as I read an ayat, I will continue with commentary, and so we will build up the story. Says the Quran Majid, it takes up the story from here. Says, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَسَيِّدًا وَحَصُورًا وَنَبِيًّا مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surah Al-Imran, 3rd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 39. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels of Allah, and the angels and the malaikas called to Zakariya. Zakariya alayhi salam stands there worrying, asking Allah, beseeching Allah, explaining himself to Allah for a son. And he hears the malaikas. The malaikas convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. And the angels called to him while he stood praying in the apartment, saying, verily, O Zakariya, verily, Allah gives you glad tidings of a son named Yahya, confirming a word from Allah, and that Yahya will be a leader, and that Yahya will be a chaste person, and that Yahya will be a prophet, and that Yahya will be from among the righteous peoples. Subhanallah. Here on the one hand is a prophet of Allah Ta'ala praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspired by the gift to Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's malaikas come and inform, O Zakariya, you are praying. Verily Allah gives you glad tidings. Allah has accepted your dua. You will be granted the gift of a son, the benefit of a son. Allah is going to grant you a son. And O Zakariya, that boy's name you must keep Yahya. You must keep his name Yahya. I, Allah, choose his name. And I instruct you and I command you that when I grant you that son, and you must name him, then you must name him Yahya. And that Yahya, he will confirm a word from Allah. What does that mean? These words, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى, and that Yahya, مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, بِكَلِمَةٍ مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. What is that? Mufassirin karam tell us that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was told that, oh Yahya, oh Zakariya, Zakariya must tell Yahya that Yahya will be one who will spread the message of the coming of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, kalimatam min Allah. The task of Zakariya, you the father, you must train, you must teach who? Your son Yahya, that Yahya must announce to the world, Yahya must announce to the world the coming, the advent of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That will be a major task of, one, his name will be Yahya. Two, his major task will be to pronounce and to announce to the world the coming and the advent of a great prophet of Allah, who? Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And who will this Yahya be? He will be wasayyidan. He will be a sayyid. Yahya will be a Sayyid, meaning he will be a born leader of men, and Wahasuran, and he will be a chaste person. There was so much immorality and corruption and obscenity in that day, so much fornication, adultery and unchasteness in that day. There was so much going on of wrong and evil and obscene and sin in the temples of the day. Alright, there was no respect for womanhood in that day. It was abominable what was going on. It was a crime. It was utter sin that which was going on in the temples of the day. A leader had to be born, a man, a figure, a leader, a prophet, who would be so chaste that people would recognize him by his chasteness and the purity of his morality. Such a person, O Zakaria, that kind of son I will grant you, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels, the malaikas inform Zakaria alayhi salam, wahasuran, and this Yahya will be a chaste person, wanabiyan, and he will be a prophet, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, not only that, min as-salihin, he will be from amongst the virtuous and the righteous peoples. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was dumbstruck at the swiftness of the reply. He had asked for a pure and pious son, and the angels now inform him, they convey to him the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would receive a son, but a son with certain outstanding and excellent qualities, much more than what he had asked for. His name was chosen by Allah Ta'ala as Yahya. What a blessing indeed. He would also announce the coming of a miraculous prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as a word from Allah, for he would be conceived by a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a father, and that would be Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yahya would also be a leader of men. He would be a fearless and a powerful preacher, one who would not bow or bend to the power of state or wealth. Even more, Yahya would be a pure and a chaste person, one who was not drawn to or attracted by the pleasure and the joys of women or life or world. To crown it all, he would be also a prophet of Allah Ta'ala, pure of sin, innocent and devout. He would always be amongst the righteous peoples, those chosen for the highest favors and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for their consistent striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was absolutely delighted, but stunned nevertheless, completely stunned. This mercy of Allah ta'ala upon him was beyond his understanding. He had only asked for a pious and an obedient son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was granting him so much, so much more. He needed some proof to absorb all this. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam wants proof to prove that this is true. I'll tell you now why. Was it all true? Was this really happening to him? Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam pinches himself. He wants to know whether he is really, can this be true? He cannot believe what's happening. He's so shocked by this response. Was it all true? Was it really happening to him? Was he the one the angels were addressing? Now he looks and he hears the angels addressing him, but he is not sure. Are they speaking to me or are they speaking to Maryam? Who are these angels speaking to? Who are they talking about? He is unsure of himself. Was there not some mistake here perhaps? He had to make certain. He had to ascertain. He wanted to be sure that this message was for him, meant for him. That this was not just a dream. The Quran Majid takes up the story as follows. Says the Quran, Ala, Ala Rabbi anna yakunu li ghulamun wa kad balagani al-kibur wa mra'ati aqir. قال كذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آياتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة أيام إلا رمزا واذكر ربك كثيرا وسبح بالعشي والإبكار. Surah آل عمران, third surah of the Quran, ayat number 40 and 41. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He Zakaria said, My Rabb, my sustainer, how shall I have a son? When old age has overtaken me and my wife is barren? The angel said, telling him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the angels, and the angels now reply to Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. old age has overtaken me, how can I have a son? My wife is barren, she is old, how can she have a son? The angel said, so will it be, Allah does what He will. So will it be, Allah does what He will. He, Zakaria, said then, my sustainer, grant me a sign. And the angel said, your sign shall be that you will speak to no man for 3 days other than by gesture, by sign language. And remember your sustainer much and praise him evening and morning. Subhanallah. Here is your sign. Zakaria wants a sign. He wants to know it is meant for him. For if that sign comes unto him, he knows that it is he that will be granted the blessing of a son, pious son, obedient son by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not somebody else's men. He is not dreaming this. So what is the sign? Allah Ta'ala gives him the sign and Allah says, Allah will do what He wishes. What do the malaika inform him? They tell him that Allah does what He... Nothing is impossible to Allah. Allah, so will it be. Allah does what He will. And he says, the sign that you ask, your sign will be that you will be unable to speak to any man. You will lose the power of speech. You will be unable to speak for 3 days other than by sign language, by gestures. And, O Zakaria, during this period where you lose the ability of speech, your heart will still be pumping, all your mental faculties will still be functioning, you must then engage yourself in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Though old and barren, Allah ta'ala willed that Yahya be born to the wife of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, all things being possible to Allah ta'ala. A sign is also granted to him. The gift of speech is taken away from him for 3 days, which would prove to him that Yahya would be his son, and a fine and obedient son at that. Whilst losing the power of speech for 3 days, he must, however, engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously praising, lauding, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another passage that Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was of the extremely pious, virtuous and rightful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. In another ayah now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us who was Zakariya, what was the status of Zakariya, what was the position of Zakariya as a prophet. Wa Zakariya, wa Yahya, wa Isa, wa Ilyasa, kullum min as-salihin. Surah An'am, 6th surah of the Quran, ayat number 85 says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we guided Zakariya, and we guided Yahya, and we guided Isa, and we guided Ilyas. Each one of them was of the righteous. Righteousness for prophets means virtue in its highest sense, wherein input is far greater than that of ordinary human beings. By input I mean worship and sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam were truly pious, devout and righteous, virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the highest sense of the word virtue. The Quran Majid also records the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam and Yahya alayhi salam in the following words. Says Allah, wa Zakariya iznada rabbahu rabbi la tazarni fardan wa anta khayrul warisin fastajabna lahu wa wahabna lahu Yahya wa aslahna lahu zawjahu innahum kanu yusari'una fil khayrati wa yad'unana raghaban wa rahaban wa kanu lana khashi'in. Surah Anbiya, 21st surah of the Quran, ayat number 89 and 90, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember Zakariya, O Muslimin, O reciters of Quran, O true believers, and remember Zakariya when he called upon his sustainer saying, O my sustainer, leave me not childless. O Allah, leave me not childless, though you are the best heir. O Allah, I know you are the best heir. O Allah, I know you can do what you will. You are the best heir. In other words, I may go away, but I know Allah, you will always be there. But still I am a human being and I desire a son, so that my son can continue with my work, O Allah. Though I know and I admit that you are always there, O Allah, always overseeing everything and always seeing to it that truth exists in the world, yet I, a human being, O Allah, with all my failings and with all my human things, O Allah, this is the request of a father for a son. For you to do the impossible to me, O Allah, but the possible to you, O Allah. And remember Zakaria, when he called upon his sustainer, upon his Rabb, saying, O my sustainer, leave me not childless, though you are the best heir. So, says Allah, so we heard him, and we bestowed upon him Yahya, and we made his wife sound for bearing a child, called Yahya to him. Verily, they, the prophets of Allah, verily they used to excel in virtuous deeds, and they called upon us, upon Allah, in hope and in fear, and they humbled themselves before us, and they, the prophets, says Allah, humbled themselves before us. In yet another lengthy passage, the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, the father, and Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, is recounted in the following divine words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mark, my brothers, how often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the story, and the length and the detail in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and his son Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Before I tell you of the instigations of shaitan and how shaitan tries to instigate and usurp and seduce them, I am giving you the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and his son Yahya alayhi salam from the Quran Majid. This is the build up to the story where shaitan comes into the picture. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam at the commencement, Kaf ha ya ayn sad, zikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya, iz nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya, qala rabbi inni wahanu azmu مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله ربي رضيا. سورة مريم 9, سورة القرآن. I have recited to you ayat number 1 to number 6. كاف حايا. This is an account, this is a mention of the mercy of your sustainer towards his servant Zakariya, when he called upon his sustainer with a secret cry and said, my sustainer, verily my bones have become weak and feeble, and my head is shining with white hair, and I have never been unsuccessful in my prayers, in my du'as to you, O Allah, O sustainer, O my Rabb, and verily I fear my relations, I fear my cousins and my relatives who are to succeed me, and my wife is barren, O Allah. So grant me a successor, grant me a son from before thee, from you, O Allah, by your miracle, O Allah, by your will and by your power, O Allah. So grant me a successor from before thee, who may be my heir, who may be my successor, and may be an heir of the family of Yaqub, and grant me, O my sustainer, that he be acceptable to thee, that the son that you grant me be acceptable of the family of Yaqub, and grant me, O my sustainer, that he be acceptable to thee, that the son that you grant me be acceptable to you, O Allah. This was the dua that Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam made in the apartment of Maryam alayhi salam, when he saw her being granted unseasonable fruits out of season to her by this miracle of Maryam alayhi salam merely making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for food. And this lengthy ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Zakariya alayhi salam and the granting of a wise and a pious son unto him. Such was the cry, the dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was inspired by seeing out of season fruits and provision by Maryam alayhi salam to seek the boon and the blessing of a son in his old age from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his barren wife for the sake of prophetic task continuity. His fear was that his cousins and relatives would abandon the preaching of truth and tawheed. The Quran Majid continues with the story, Ya Zakariya, Inna nubashiruka bi ghulamin ismuhu Yahya, Lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiya. Qala rabbi anna yakunu li ghulamu wa kanati imra'ati aqiran wa qad balaghtu min al-kibri itiya. Qala kazalik قال ربك هو علي عين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاث ليال سويا فخرج على قومه من المحراب فأوهى إليهم أن سبحوا بكرة وعشيا سورة Maryam 19, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 7 to 11 I have recited to you. And the angel said, O Zakariya, verily we bring you glad tidings of a son, who's the son that you have requested, glad tidings of a son whose name shall be Yahya. We have not caused anyone to bear the same name before him. So we find also that the name Yahya is unique. It is original, says Allah. We have not caused anyone to bear the name of Yahya before him. Zakariya said, My Rabb, my sustainer, how shall I have a son when my wife is barren and I have now reached old age, decrepit age? I'm so old, my hairs are already all white on my hair, and my bones have become feeble and weak. My Rabb, how shall I have a son when my wife is barren and I have now reached old age? The angel said, so shall it be. Your sustainer says, it is easy for him, it is easy for me, for I created you before when you were nothing, when you were non-existent. Zakariya said, my sustainer, grant unto me a sign. The angel said, your sign will be that you will not speak to men for 3 nights, though being in sound health. Then he, Zakariya, came forth to his people from the sanctuary. Now he emerges. Now the Quran tells us, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, after receiving the assurance of a son coming to him, and after receiving the sign that for 3 days after that dua, he would not be able to speak to people except by sign language, by gestures. Now he leaves the sanctuary of Baytul Muqaddas, the sanctuary and the apartment wherein was housed Maryam alayhi salam. He leaves and he comes out of the sanctuary, tells the Quran, and he made signs to the people. He was unable to speak. As he came out of the sanctuary, the people were crowded outside, tells the Quran, and he made signs to them. He made signs to them as if to say, praise your sustainer in the morning and praise your sustainer in the evening. That is the ayat of the Quran which I recited now. Though old and infirm and decrepit, and although his wife was barren and also old, Allah granted the couple the child they sought to continue the noble work of the father. And so conceives the wife of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, and a child, Yahya, is born to them, to the parents. Yahya was born, and as he grew, he showed exceptional qualities of leadership and prophethood, piety and obedience, and respect, particularly respect for his parents. He was forever dutiful towards them, caring and compassionate. He never compromised, and he held on to his principles and duties with firmness and with justice. He was very strong and very bold and very upright, and he was feared and respected by all and sundry. Rigid, firm, resolute, and practical, all men turned to him for advice and for counsel. He was held in awe and esteem by the populace. All men turned to him. The Quran Majid informs us about Yahya alayhi salam as follows. Ya Yahya, the Quran continues. Ya Yahya, khuzil kitaba bi quwwa, wa atainahu al-hukma sabiyya, wa hananan min ladunna wa zakatan, wa kana taqiyya, wa barran bi walidayhi, wa lam yakun jabbaran asiyya, wa salamun alayhi, yawma wulida wa yawma yamutu wa yawma وَمَا يُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. Surah Maryam 19, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 12 to 15. And Allah commanded him, O Yahya, hold fast the book of the Torah, the book of Moses, book of Musa alayhi salat. O Yahya, hold fast to the laws of the Torah, to the commandments of the Torah, hold fast the book. Torah with a resolution to enact it. With this resolution, O Yahya, that you will ordain its commandments and instruct the people in its commandments and in its laws. And, says Allah, and we bestowed on Yahya wisdom as a child and a mercy from us and purity of life. And Yahya was a devout person, meaning a taqwa. Muttaqi, an Allah-fearing person, and we made Yahya a dutiful person towards his parents, and he was neither proud nor rebellious. Peace be on him, the day Yahya was born, the day that Yahya dies, and the day that Yahya will be raised alive. Subhanallah, that is the Quran. Look, I use the word Yahya instead of he, so that it may be clear to you as to whom the Quran is talking about. These are the ayat of the Quran. You can see from the story how pious, how devout, how great were both, how noble and honorable were Zakaria alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. These were the excellent qualities and characteristics of Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Says Allah Ta'ala, we bestowed on him wisdom as a child. Subhanallah. He received mercy from us in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala, in these ayat. Wisdom from Allah, mercy from Allah. Purity of life to Yahya from Allah. Yahya was a devout person, says Allah. He was a muttaqi, Allah-fearing person, says Allah Ta'ala. And Yahya was dutiful and respectful towards his parents. Subhanallah. What great qualities, what exceptional, excellent qualities to have, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Yahya that I have given you, O Zakaria, he was neither proud nor rebellious, always obedient. Subhanallah, always submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبَعَثُ حَيًّا. This Yahya of mine, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace is on him on the day when he was born, on the day that he dies, and the day that he will be raised alive. Subhanallah. Father and son, no simple people. Very important to understand, before I commence with the story of what happened when Shaitan intervened, you must know who are the people that we are talking about. This, all I have done now is background material to the story upon which I am going to start. Time will not permit, but let me just touch the first few phrases of the story. These were the excellent qualities and characteristics of Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. Both father and son boldly carried out their mission, their duty of prophethood, never failing or fearing to preach Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat to their people. They drew many enemies, but their standing was such that none dared to touch a hair of their head. Somewhere, sometime, Shaitan watched and speculated on the whole scene. Things had moved too swiftly and too fast for him to meddle and to interfere. Shaitan was filled with jealousy and hatred for Nabi Zakaria and his son Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. He schemed to destroy them and to bring an end to their noble task. Remember, these were the dark days of idolatry and paganism, the chief architect of which was Shaitan. Now Shaitan inclined to terminate the work of the two prophets. He embarked on a course of spurring the Israelites on to an extreme hatred of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, and of seeking to torment and torture him for the work of preaching he was doing. Shaitan infiltrated their minds, the minds of the Israelite people, and he occupied their hearts, and he whispered evil suggestions to them to kill Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam and Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah. That plot and that plan we will pursue next week, inshallah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our maker, our master, our creator, our sustainer
We send also Darud and Salam, the blessings and salutations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the beloved messenger, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family and upon his companions, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. We in the last week of the holy month of Ramadanul Mubarak of the year 1412 of the Hijrah, which is equivalent to the last week of March of the year 1992, and we are seated here after having performed Salatul Zuhr with Jama'ah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Primrose Park, in this masjid, and we are to continue with our lesson on Shaitan's plan for man. We are going to do today the completion of the story of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam and his son Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, and how Shaitan pursued them. And thereafter we will commence with our lesson, the very interesting conversation that took place between the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan in the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. Before I commence with today's talk, I wish firstly to announce to you that the continuation of these lessons after Ramadan, next week most probably maybe the day of Eid, Saturday or Sunday, so there will be no lesson. But the week after that, on Sunday afternoon after Asr Salah, these lessons will continue in this masjid here in Primrose Park until we hold a further mashura and decide on a change of time perhaps or whatever. But not next Sunday, but the Sunday following after the Salah of Asr, for about an hour to an hour and a half, these lessons will be continued in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, please bear this in mind. The next is, this is the last Sunday of Ramadan that I will be speaking to you. In the month of Ramadan. After that, we will be out of Ramadan in Shawwal. So, I wish to take this opportunity to thank the committee of this masjid. We have used this masjid the whole of last year, from last Ramadan and the previous Ramadan. More than 2 years we are here, and the lessons have continued after Asr every Sunday, and the committee has given us the full permission, granted us permission for the use of the masjid. I, on behalf of myself and the other students that attend these classes, wish to take this opportunity to thank them for it, to make their shukr for it, and to wish them everything of the best, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant them rich rewards for having allowed us the use of this masjid. Allah must bless them, and Allah must bless their families as well. Then at the same time, I have received numerous requests from people that are terminally ill, you know, illnesses from which there is very little hope of recovery. Besides them, there are many other of our mothers, of our sisters, of our fathers, and our brothers that are very, very ill. Some of whom I know, and many of them you know as well, in your families. For all of them, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give them complete shifa, inshallah. They must recover completely. It is not beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow, by His leave, by His will and permission, that people who are terminally ill, even they fully recover from their illness. This is within the scope and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant them complete recovery, inshallah. Then, I have a letter in my hand, and before starting, I wish to read this letter out for you. I did a similar thing last year. This letter is from the state of Palestine, the Palestine Liberation Organization, from the office in Canberra. This is what they state. It will take me a minute and a half, 2 minutes at the most, to read it out to you. The information is important. And we are requested to make dua for these people, our Palestinian brothers and sisters as well. This is what this letter states. It says, this is a report, a summarized report of what has happened since the Gulf War. And they state as follows. It says, 350,000 Palestinians have been forced to leave Kuwait for the occupied territories. And these occupied territories, which fall under Jordan and the Lebanon, half of them are under 18 years of age. Half of the 350,000 Palestinians that have been forced out of Kuwait as a result of the Gulf War and have gone to Jordan and Lebanon, they are under 18 years of age, boys and girls. Education in these areas was already in crisis. Second point they state to us is, poverty in the same areas has increased remittances from the Gulf. Poverty in the same areas has increased and remittances from the Gulf have virtually stopped. And most Palestinians who used to work in Israel have lost their jobs. So we have, in other words, a vast amount of Palestinians who are unemployed at the moment. And you know, unemployment means no food, no clothes, no roof, no shelter. This is a state in which our Palestinians have been wandering for the last 40 years, 40, 50 years. Thirdly, brothers, we in South Africa don't know what is suffering. We don't even know the meaning of the word oppression. You and I shout so much about oppression. We are oppressed peoples. We don't even have a little inkling or an idea of what oppression truly is. We are living in luxury. You ask these Palestinians what is suffering and they will tell us what it is. The third point they make is, closures of schools and universities in the occupied territories imposed for many years in reaction to the Intifada has continued. You resist the oppressor as the Palestinians have done, and the result is no education. You remain jahils and you remain ignorant, and you know what happens. And the fourth point they make is the killing, the wounding and the arrests. Israel has the highest ratio of political prisoners in the world, and I may mention to you that the majority of them, 99% of them, are Muslim political prisoners, our brothers and our sisters. Many amongst them are women folk, are females as well, do remember that. The killing, wounding, arrests, the confiscation of Muslim land, over 70% of the land in occupied territories has been confiscated. They were Muslim lands and Muslim farms for generations, and other forms of collective punishments and gross violations of human rights still occur on a daily basis and are on the increase. It has recently been revealed at a UN seminar on Palestine that, point number one, there are 135 public hospital beds for children in the Gaza Strip. 135 only public hospital beds for children, Muslim children, in the Gaza Strip. In other words, the breakdown is one bed for every 3,000 children. And there is one doctor for every 1,000 children. And one nurse for every 7,000 children. These are our children, brothers. Make dua for them. They are ours. They are like very much our own children. And you imagine our children being in this situation. All right? One bed for 3,000, one doctor for 1,000, and one nurse for 7,000. The second point is as follows. The number of public health clinics in the Gaza Strip is 27. These clinics provide one doctor for every 10,000 Palestinians and one nurse for every 5,000. The third point is, anemia among children below 5 years old has reached 70%. And among pregnant women, more than 70%. And the last point they make is as follows. Cases of asthma are increasing in number and gravity tremendously because the Israelis use chemical gas against population concentration centers. And this gas even goes inside their homes. They breathe it, in other words, and the result is this, what is mentioned here, the cases of asthma that are increasing. Palestinians, in bold letters they state that Palestinians are now passing through one of the harshest periods of their tragic history. And then last line, there's an appeal, please help as generously as you can this Ramadan and after Ramadan. Support Palestinian steadfastness. Brothers, this is our bit that we have to do for our brothers and sisters there. These people are truly suffering. They've been suffering from a long time. The Jewish propaganda machine tries to give us other stories and give us other excuses as to their plight. But they are our brothers and sisters, and no matter which way they are hurt, it should hurt us as well. What we can do at the moment, the greatest thing we can do is to make dua for them in this holy month of Ramadan and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away the suffering of our Palestinian brothers and sisters and to bring relief to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. It is only a matter of time. Israel and the Jewish peoples cannot continue to suppress these peoples forever. Alright, that was one part for we now continue with our lessons after this. We were discussing a brief summary. We have been discussing Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. And in this, I outlined the birth of Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, how it came about, what kind of person he was, what kind of person Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam was. And after outlining the background to you and reciting several ayat of the Quran for you, verses from the Holy Quran for you, we then proceeded towards the end of the lesson last week with the story of Shaitan following and trying to disrupt the life of these two great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by name Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and Nabi his son Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. That is what we will proceed with at this moment. Shaitan inclined to terminate, to bring to an end the work of da'wat and tabligh, of propagation of tawheed and risalat and akhirat of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and his son Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. Shaitan embarked on a course of spurring the Israelites on to an extreme hatred of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and of seeking to torment and to torture him for the work of preaching that Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam was doing. Shaitan infiltrated the minds of the Bani Israel people. Remember, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam were two people, two messengers, two prophets who came to the Bani Israel nation after Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. In between there were many other prophets that came to them as well. We are busy with the story of these specific two prophets, Zakariya and Yahya alayhim wassalam. Shaitan infiltrated, which means Shaitan started to waswas, to whisper, to campaign. Shaitan infiltrated the minds of the Bani Israel people and he occupied their hearts and he whispered evil suggestions to them to kill Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. The relatives and cousins, nephews and so on of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam joined in the plot that Shaitan weaved and interweaved. They would be rid of one who humiliated their gods and spoke against their sinful ways of life. The Shaitan suggested to the Bani Israel, particularly to their leaders, that they should kill Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, that they should rid themselves of this man that disturbed their lives by preaching the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who spoke against their numerous gods. Free yourselves of him, he told them. Shaitan turned on his magic to force his followers on to taking some definite course of action against Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. A plot and a scheme was then laid. Plans were formalized and a gang of the Israelites set out to end the life of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam received news of their murderous plot and plans just in time. And so he managed to escape into the surrounding forests of Judea. Judea is the area, Palestine, what now we call Palestine, that is the area we are discussing, formerly known as Judea. So Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he received news of them that a gang of the Bani Israel has set out, of Israel has set out to kill him, he managed to leave his home and escape into the forests that surrounded Judea. The Judean hills offered many places to hide, but many of these were known to the people, to the Israelites, and Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam had to keep moving from place to place, from cove to cove and from cave to cave, in order to keep abreast of those who were following him, of the renegades. But then places became less and less as he moved further and further away, as they hunted him down relentlessly. Shaitan watched the scene with great delight, suggesting, enticing, and beckoning the evildoers, the hunters of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, to keep following this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wa salam was old, he was tired by now. He was a man who was 120 years old. As he tired, he looked around for cover. And this is what he sees as he looks around for cover, extremely tired. A tree shouts out to him and says, "O Zakaria, come take shelter within me." Thus saying, the tree split through the middle, offering him sufficient place to hide within. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam immediately sought refuge in this tree, which then closed up once he had gained access within, hiding him completely, but for one matter. And this is what happened. To explain it to you briefly, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tired, forlorn, weary, being followed and hunted by his enemies, looks for solace, looks for shelter. And a tree where he laid down wearily offers him an escape route, offers him such shelter, offers him such refuge. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam hears the sound coming from the tree offering him shelter. The tree opens itself, the root tears apart or breaks apart or splits apart, and Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam is asked to come and take cover within this tree. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam gets up, he walks into this tree, which then covers itself up again. Shaitan in the meantime is nearby, and Shaitan heard the tree offering refuge and shelter to Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, and Shaitan rushed to prevent Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam from entering the tree. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, however, had already merged into the tree when Shaitan closed in upon him. So all Shaitan could do was to grasp a portion of a garment of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam and let a piece of that garment, the one that he held on to, hang outside the tree as a sign and a mark that a person was hidden within this tree. Got the picture? Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, Shaitan swiftly pursues Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam as he goes towards the tree. But Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam managed to get into this tree. The tree covered itself up. All that Shaitan could do was to grasp an end of the garment of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, and this, as the tree sealed itself and covered itself up, a piece of this garment remained hanging outside, sticking outside of the tree. Now look what happens. Shaitan then directed his henchmen, the hunters of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, and he led them to this tree by sounds that he made and other means and ways. By laying certain spurs on the ground, Shaitan managed to bring the hunters to the area and the place where Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was hidden in within the tree. Disguised as a man, now look at the plot of Shaitan. Disguised as a man, Shaitan told the bloodthirsty Israelite crowd, I have never seen such a great sorcerer as this. Now again, you get the picture, Nabi, you get Shaitan appearing to the Israelite peoples in the disguise of a human being, of a man. And this is what he tells them when he appears there after he has brought them to the scene. He says, I have never seen such a great sorcerer, such a great magician as this. He, through his magic, through his spell, split this tree in two. Split this tree in two through his magic and sorcery, and he is hidden within it. He is hidden inside of this tree. The Israelites, the hunters, noticed the corner of the garment of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam sticking outside, and knew that he was telling the truth, knew that this person was telling and he was speaking the truth. They now plotted how best to kill this prophet of Allah hidden within the tree, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. All kinds of evil suggestions were advanced, just such as, pull him out of this tree, such as, let us stone the tree, let us break this tree down, let us chop it down, let us burn this tree, and so on. Suggestions from all the Israelites started shouting out, barking out all kinds of suggestions in order to obtain their victim, in order to maim and kill their victim, who was Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet of Allah ta'ala, hidden inside this tree. Shaitan, who had brought them to this point, then quietly made his suggestion. Now Shaitan standing, the one who brought them here, the one who told them, held the garment out, as a result of which they recognized it as the garment of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, and as a result of which they decided to kill him. But how to get him out of the tree? So these are the suggestions that were made. Pull him out, chuck the tree down, burn the tree down, and so forth. Shaitan, however, who was standing quietly nearby, now makes his suggestion. And he says, I propose that you saw down this tree. In this way, you will cut your enemy into two pieces, and you will achieve your objective, you will achieve your aim. So, this is Shaitan's wild suggestion, clever suggestion, shrewd suggestion, his scheme to see to it that his enemy, meaning Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, finds death in this horrible way. So, the intention of the mob was roused. And the intent of the mob of roused people was an evil one. They wished to put the worst torment and torture and the worst kind of death upon this old and kind and pious messenger of Allah Ta'ala, meaning Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam. They had persecuted Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam all his life, but now they wanted his blood. Shaitan made his evil suggestion and then withdrew to watch his followers do the dirty work from the sidelines. Such is the way of the cowardly devil. He never commits the crime. He merely suggests it to his followers, and then he coaxes, persuades, entices, provokes, and tempts people towards its commission. Shaitan has been doing this, these and such acts of seduction of people for centuries, but people fail to learn. Muslims are told about the evil instigations and promptings of Shaitan in numerous ayat of the Quran, and a number of examples are given in the Quran as well as narrated in several ahadith. But people tend to make light of this matter as if it does not affect them at all, and the result is that this arch and sworn enemy of man runs havoc with the Muslim communities throughout the world, dividing them and splitting them in so many different ways. Yes, we all know how Shaitan works. None of us is ignorant of the workings of Shaitan. The Israelites now bring a saw to the scene. A saw is brought to the scene. And people began to saw through this tree in which Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was hidden with great excitement, looking forward to the flow of blood to know that they had succeeded in killing Nabi Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, whose blood they sought. Shaitan had made his lobby. The human devils had now taken over from the jinn devil. As the cutting saw approached the body of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, our Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made his presence and he spoke thus to this Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. He, addressing the Prophet, said, O Zakariya, O beloved Prophet of Allah, today is a test of your endurance and patience. Oh, that you had asked the help of Allah instead of seeking shelter in this tree when it offered you its help. Keep still and keep patient now, and do not utter a single ah, or your name will be removed from the patient ones, from the list of patient ones by Allah Ta'ala, meaning from the list of the sabireen. These are the words of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. O Zakariya, O beloved Prophet of Allah, today is a test of your endurance and your patience. Why did you not seek the help of Allah Ta'ala instead of accepting the refuge and the shelter offered by this tree? Keep silent, keep still, keep patient, and do not even utter a single word. Do not even say ah, or your name will be removed from the list held by Allah Ta'ala of the sabireen. Such a thing was unthinkable of a Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam then went into deep and concentrated meditation and prayer of Allah Ta'ala. He went into complete devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking, praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the saw was cutting through his body, through this body of the beloved of Allah, this chosen one of Allah amongst mankind, this obedient slave of Allah, this old, feeble and harmless white-haired preacher of the haq and the truth. And Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam uttered not a single word of protest. The body of this messenger of Allah Ta'ala was sawn in two, and he died with complete satisfaction with his fate. Shaitan was ever so happy and considered this end to the life of a Prophet of Allah Ta'ala as a major victory. But who knows the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why certain things happen, such as this death of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and we should accept this fact. Brothers, here, this is a very painful story of the demise of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. I have told you several others. Do bear in mind that I do not have the time to go into many details and to recite to you the ayat of the Quran wherein the Israelite slaying of prophets has been mentioned several times. The Quran mentions this, not the description of how they committed these killings, but what it does say is that many a prophet has been killed by the Israelite peoples. This is the manner and the method whereby was killed one of their great prophets by name Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Shaitan now turns his attention from the father to the son. Both had become a thorn in the side of Shaitan and a great impediment to his plans to make people, to turn people to kufr, to nifaq and to shirk. Nabi Yahya alayhi salam was preaching the imminent arrival of a great messenger of Allah Ta'ala, namely he was preaching the arrival and the advent of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Yahya alayhi salam was preparing the ground for the establishment of truth and haq by Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in this entire area. Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam went on wide land journeys and he addressed thousands of people about the imminent coming of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. His addresses and his sermons were marked with outstanding oratory and great authority. Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam's power and influence spread far and wide throughout the land. His fame spread to the court of Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee and Pariah, who held designs to marry his beautiful stepdaughter at the instigation of Shaitan. I'm not going into too many details about the story of the Roman Empire and the corruption that had entered the corridors of the Roman Empire. It is a long story and a lengthy story. Those who wish to, you can find them in the books of history. Very briefly, this is the period where Herod Antipas had been appointed as the tetrarch, meaning governor. This is the word that he used, therefore I've used the word tetrarch, but we would understand it better if we say he was the governor of this area of Judea. And there it is, since it is written in the history books as Galilee and Pariah, these were the provinces of the Roman Empire, and Herod Antipas was appointed as the governor or the tetrarch of this area, and he wished to marry his stepdaughter by his wife. His wife had married previously, and she had a very beautiful daughter from her first husband. And of course,